What did C.S. Lewis say about communication? And what are Lewis's techniques? What made him an effective communicator? Those two questions form the essence of what I'm trying to do.
This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host and the creator of the show. On today's program, I'm pleased to tell you about an interesting book on Lewis that you didn't know you wanted to know about. My guest is Dr. Stephen Beebe. He's written a book called C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication. It's new for 2020. Stay tuned to the end of the show and I'll tell you more about myself, which includes a fairly recent start of a YouTube channel. But for now, let's go ahead and jump into my recorded conversation where I welcome my guest. Welcome to All About Jack, Steve. I'm excited to have you as my guest today.
I'm delighted to be here, William.
Well, now, one of the reasons I'm excited is because I believe I'm introducing most listeners to your work, and that's because while you are no stranger to writing, this is your first book on Lewis, I believe. And that being said, what does C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication offer that readers can't find in other books on the topic of our friend Jack?
Well, thanks very much for that question. For about the past 15 years, I've been teaching a course called C.S. Lewis Chronicles of a Master Communicator. And on the very first day of that course, at the end of my syllabus, I give students the take-home final exam that consists of two questions, which really gets at the essence of what I'm writing about in this book. The first question I ask them on the final exam is, what did C.S. Lewis say about communication? And the second question is, what are Lewis's techniques? What made him an effective communicator? So with those two questions, in some respects, I guess my book is me taking my own final exam after about 15 years. But those two questions form the essence of what I'm trying to do in C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication.
Well, while the core of your book is about the five principles that represent key communication ideas from Lewis, you provide the details for them starting in chapters 4 through 8. Therefore, tell us why it takes you so long to get to them.
That's a great question. What I realized as I thought about this book is not everybody may be familiar with some of C.S. Lewis's ideas. So I do introduce the five principles in chapter 1, which is making the case that C.S. Lewis is indeed a master communicator. But I thought it was helpful for readers to take a look at Lewis's background, his life as a communicator. Sometimes C.S. Lewis would say in his chapters, if this chapter is not helpful to you, just skip it. So chapter 2, which takes the reader through Lewis's life, and so many people who've read biographies of Lewis may already understand some of those key ideas. However, what I do in Chapter 2, called The Making of a Master Communicator, is take the reader through Lewis's life from the standpoint of his background as a communicator. Why is C.S. Lewis? What about his background? What about his education? Why is he such an effective communicator? And then the third chapter, to sort of tee up the other chapters, is about what did C.S. Lewis communicate about? If we're going to talk about Lewis's principles and practices of communication, I thought it was helpful for readers to have a sense of what are his big ideas. Again, if you're a longtime reader of Lewis, these big ideas should be familiar to you. But not everyone may be familiar with looking at Lewis from the standpoint of what are his key points? What did he talk about? So, and then on chapter 4, we dig into the five principles that constitute the core of the book.
Well, now, while not wanting to give away the farm, as one might say, let's have you summarize each of your, I guess you haven't mentioned this yet, but the expression is high T, the five principles, and let's begin with holistic.
Yes, the acronym HITEA, each of those letters stands for one of the five principles. And just a bit of background before I talk about the principles. What I did for many years, I've been reading Lewis for quite some time, almost 30 years. And when I got the idea for the book, I realized that he had a lot to say about communication. So before trying to put his ideas in any kind of basket or any kind of formula, I just simply read Lewis. and identified what is he saying about communication. And after summarizing all of his principles, typing out all of his quotes about what he said about communication, I began to see some patterns. Or as he said, if you stare in the fire too long, you'll begin to see patterns. So I began to see patterns, and I identified five things. And the five words that constitute high T are: he was holistic, he was intentional, he was transpositional, the E of high T is evocative, and then the A is audience-centered. So that's the background for the five principles. And so let's talk about each one of those as you'd like. The first one, holistic. What I realized is that Lewis was a holistic communicator in the sense that, and again, many longtime listeners or readers of C.S. Lewis will know he often talked about writing for the eye as well as for the ear. He's holistic in that he combines the speaking, writing, rhythm style, which gives him a very informal conversational style in many of his writings. He was also holistic, as others have noted, and that I think is important to note of his power of a communicator, is that he appealed to reason and imagination. And the third way I talk about him being holistic is a bit more academic, but C.S. Lewis was an academic, so it's not surprising, perhaps, that he saw these connections. But he wrote from a rhetorical perspective, from a dialectical perspective, and also from a poetic perspective. So in the book, I talk about those ideas. What does that mean, and how does that become holistic? So I think one of the things that makes Lewis an effective communicator is he was holistic in his approach, in his style, in his methods of expressing himself.
Oh, very, very interesting. Now, next in Chapter 5 of C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication, you explain, quote, effective communicators are intentional. Can you purposefully back that up?
Well, yes, I think so. Lewis, again, each of these ideas that I talk about are not Steve Beebe saying, here's what Lewis should do, but what I did was simply look at what he said. And one of the things I noticed that he said on several of occasions through many different works is about the importance of knowing what you're going to say. He wrote, for example, to a schoolgirl, he said, take great pains to be clear. Remember that though you start by knowing what you mean, the reader doesn't, and a single ill-chosen word may lead him to a total misunderstanding. Many places throughout Lewis's writing and speaking, he talks about know what you want to accomplish before you set out to accomplish it. So Lewis, I believe, was very intentional. He had a clear direction to what he was thinking about and writing about.
Well, now, before getting into the final three principles, or the T part, I was going to jokingly say, which I guess I am now, before we have T, let's pause and have you give some more background about yourself. You mentioned about teaching, and I understand that you recently retired. So tell us more about that, along with what else you've written, as well as how you became so interested in C.S. Lewis.
Well, there are several questions there, and I'm delighted to talk about them. Yes, I've been a university professor for almost 45 years, teaching communication, which includes a wide variety of competencies. I've had the privilege to work with some very talented co-authors to write textbooks in public speaking. I teach and write about interpersonal communication, human relationships. I have a textbook that's now in its 12th edition called Communicating in Small Groups, Principles and Practices, in which I write about the importance of collaboration and teamwork. I've written other books on business and professional communication with an emphasis on leadership skills. I also write a book on communication training and development. And throughout the years, I've written books on family communication and how we relate to each other. So my background is as a communication professor. And how I connected that with C.S. Lewis goes back about 30 years when I first went to Oxford, and I just fell in love with Oxford. And so I, on my next sabbatical, I took my two sons, Mark and Matt, out of school, and Sue and I and Mark and Matt spent a semester in Oxford. And while I was in Oxford, I realized I think Oxford is where C.S. Lewis lived. And Lewis is someone I'd heard about and read about, but I didn't really read the Narnia Chronicles as a youngster. So I thought, let me read about Lewis. So I picked up a biography, and I was just captivated by him. His life, and he was such an interesting person. And so that's when I thought, well, maybe I should read something about Lewis. And so about 25 years ago, when I really started digging into Lewis's works, and I was involved in a discussion group in Austin, Texas, an excellent group that continues to exist. And what I realized as we were reading one of Lewis's works each month is that C.S. Lewis had a lot to say about communication. At least that was the lens I was bringing to his study. So it's looking at Lewis from that communication lens. It was in 2002, while reading manuscripts in the Bodleian Library, that I was reading a manuscript in Lewis's handwriting, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew what it was about. It was about language and words and messages and communication. So it was something I was very interested in. I thought, surely this has been published. And in fact, I was disappointed to learn that it wasn't published, which meant I'd have to read it and meticulously transcribe his handwriting. Well, in the Bodleian Library, you can't check things out, which meant I'd have to keep coming back to look at the manuscript. And it took me about 3 years coming back and forth on various travels to Oxford to transcribe that manuscript, and I still didn't really know what it was. But it was about 7 years after I first stumbled across it that I realized it was the opening chapter of a manuscript that C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien had planned as they were going to write a book called Language and Human Nature. In essence, they were going to write a book about communication. And with that insight, that really got me thinking about what I could do with C.S. Lewis as a communicator. So I started teaching a course at Texas State University, where I taught for the last 33 years, and continue to do some writing. I've written a few articles about Lewis, but this is my first book where I put together, as I say, it's my own final exam of what did C.S. Lewis say about communication and what's his background and technique in communicating to others. And it's just been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I've had tremendous response to the class and have enjoyed sharing these ideas with others in presentations, and look forward to continuing to do that.
Yeah, that discovery was very exciting. It's always interesting when you come across something that's to individuals like yourself interested in Lewis. It's the equivalent of like finding buried treasure or gold, isn't it?
I called it my Indiana Jones moment. It's sort of the, of course, at the time I stumbled on it, I didn't know what it was. So I'm a little slow that it took me 7 years to figure out what it was. But it was, I was reading Diana Glyer's excellent book, The Company They Keep. And she was writing about this book, that it was scheduled to be published in 1949, and everyone thought it hadn't been written. And that's when I realized, I know what this is. I bet that. And then I went back and looked at the manuscript, and sure enough, I found that that Lewis, in his writing, talked about your authors, plural, that your authors believe. Here's what we think, things I'd missed when I'd just been reading it and trying to focus on the ideas. And so it's been corroborated by others, and it's just been a real joy. It wasn't exactly like it was a manuscript hidden behind some books or at the bottom of a pile. Others had looked at this manuscript, so it wasn't so much I discovered it as I identified what it was. And it was just confirming to me to know that C.S. Lewis was very interested in language, words, and meaning, and that really confirmed for me that that I should continue in my study and quest to look at C.S. Lewis as a communicator. And it's just been a lot of fun to read Lewis from that perspective, and I'm excited and eager to share some of these ideas in this book.
Well, and then let's go ahead and get back into your book, which again is entitled C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication. While each of the remaining concepts are unique in and of themselves. Let me have you just give an even shorter overview of them, because as we noted earlier, we don't want to give away the farm. We want people to delve deeper by getting your book, but give us a short summary of each of the T.
The T stands for transposition, which was based on a sermon that he delivered in June at Mansfield College. And of all the five principles, this is the one that is most unique to C.S. Lewis. So it's about his use of how we communicate higher, richer experiences to help others make sense out of those. So that's all I'll say about the T. It is probably of the five principles the most unique, linked to C.S. Lewis, and I found it fascinating, and I hope readers will too. The E of high T stands for evoke. One of the things C.S. Lewis does so well is he knows how to get messages out of us. One of the bumper sticker principles that I use when I teach courses in communication is, it's better to get a message out of someone than to put one in them. C.S. Lewis is a master of doing that, whether he's using stories or words or drawing upon myth or through his multiple use of metaphor and comparison. He knows how to put us in the story and make us feel the story. So he's very evocative, and that's an exceptionally effective principle that he uses. The last principle, the A, stands for audience-centered. Lewis knew his audience. Lewis knew who he was communicating with. In some respects, it relates to being intentional. He intentionally knew how to connect his ideas to the people that he wanted to connect with. And so in that chapter, I talk about how Lewis did that. Sometimes he wasn't always that effective, and how he learned from some of his mistakes. So in Chapter 8, I and readers might find it interesting to have a look at what he did that wasn't effective from time to time, some of his mistakes as a communicator. But then I suggest that he learned from those mistakes, and that made him even more effective in being able to connect with the listener and connect with the reader. So he was holistic. He was intentional, he was transpositional, he was evocative, and he connected with his audience. High T.
Yeah, that way of helping people to remember is quite helpful. Well, now, in a moment, I'll have you tell about your final chapter, but even though you've mentioned it to some extent, you can go ahead and give some more details and or recap here, and that is in terms of coming up with these core principles. Well, did Lewis come to you in a vision and give them to you, or did it take more than 3 months to write your book?
No, he didn't come to me in a vision. I did, however, have a chance, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, to sleep at the Kilns, Lewis's home for many years, in C.S. Lewis's bedroom. And one of the things I remember is not exactly coming to me, but sort of confirming and solidifying these principles of how Lewis communicated. So I can't really say there was an apparition of C.S. Lewis, but I do remember that evening as I was drifting to sleep and hearing the wind rattle in windows. They restored the original windows in C.S. Lewis's home. And I remember thinking, this is what C.S. Lewis would have heard as he went to sleep. This is the ceiling he would have looked at as he was perhaps saying his prayers right before he went to sleep. But it was also at that time that I had a confirmation that I think these principles are useful and helpful. They were certainly useful and helpful to C.S. Lewis. I argue in the book that it's Lewis's ability to communicate that makes him a number one communicator. His books have been and continue to sell. Mere Christianity was voted the number one Christian book of the 20th century. C.S. Lewis knew how to communicate and connect these important ideas to other people. And so this book describes how did he do that. So longtime readers of Lewis, I hope they find it useful in that, this might explain why Lewis resonates with me. He knew how to make these connections to readers. He knew how to make these connections to me. Or if you're a new reader to Lewis, or if you're only a casual reader of Lewis, I hope this book can be helpful to you in providing a framework for better appreciation Just as there are music appreciation courses, think of this as a Lewis appreciation course to look at how did Lewis connect? How does Lewis connect with me? Why does he do that? Why do I find Lewis's ideas resonate with me so well? Certainly, they were brilliant ideas that I cover in Chapter 3, and they were important ideas. But he had a unique way, I believe, a powerful way of connecting and communicating with his readers and, during his lifetime, his listeners. And that's what this book is about.
Well, now, before we do a final wrap-up here, your ninth and last chapter is where we might say the rubber meets the road. You provide some practical ways to put the principles into practice. Without going into all five, could you give us a few of the suggestions that you offer?
I can. Again, the last chapter is sort of a review of the principles, but I want to make sure that people who read this book can apply them, because I think that's what's important. So I title the last chapter, How to Communicate Like C.S. Lewis. For example, in being intentional, I give specific prescriptions on in any communication, whether you're giving a speech or writing an essay or even writing a letter or, in this day and age, writing a text. How do you figure out what it is you want to say? What's the objective? How can you be intentional? And I talk about how C.S. Lewis did that, and then I give some specific recommendations on doing that. On being evocative, one of the things that makes C.S. Lewis a master communicator is he puts us in that situation. He connects us with those ideas. He helps us feel what it feels like to be in Aslan's presence. So how do you do that? Well, I offer some specific prescriptions for how can we tell a good story? Lewis was a master storyteller. How do you do that? Or Lewis was an effective communicator live and in person. Unfortunately, we have no videos. There's no film of C.S. Lewis. So we can't look at him as a master communicator from the standpoint of how he communicated. But we do have recordings of his voice. We do have descriptions of him as a communicator. So in that chapter, I talk about some delivery or nonverbal aspects of how can we communicate like C.S. Lewis. In the last chapter, How to Be Audience-Centered, I offer some very specific prescriptions of, based on Lewis's advice. And even in this last chapter, I quote Lewis. And I try to make this a book not about what does Steve Beebe think about communication, but what does C.S. Lewis tell us? What does he teach us? So as much as possible, I try to use his voice. Lewis did not write a book that included all of these ideas. Lewis probably, he may not even recognize these five principles. These are my retrospective sense-making of Lewis as communicator. But I think there's ample evidence. If you read the book, you'll be able to see, yes, there is a large collection of ideas that he said about being holistic and intentional and transpositional and evocative and audience-centered. These are things he talked about, not in one place, but throughout the corpus of his work. And that's what I find so helpful, is I didn't have to look in just one place, but you can find it in all of what Lewis wrote about. And it's been a really labor of love to share some of these ideas, to connect my own professional background as a professor of communication with a lover of C.S. Lewis and a lover of the ideas of C.S. Lewis and how that continues to be of help to me.
Well, speaking of being of help, I think your book will be quite helpful for individuals, whether they are more specifically interested in communication, but it's not too well-versed in Lewis, or if they're well-versed with Lewis but wonder, you know, okay, what's a good way of kind of getting a great overview of what he has to say or did with communication. So, Stephen, you know, I've enjoyed then. Let's close out here having you on All About Jack to talk about, again, the book is called C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication. Let's close out by having you give one final brief pitch as to why the listener will want to consider getting a copy of your book.
I think the title of my last chapter, William, how to communicate like C.S. Lewis. Rather than, this certainly is a book about C.S. Lewis. It's about what he did and what he said as a communicator. But in the course that I teach, what I tell my students and I would tell the readers, rather than just being a book or a course or ideas about C.S. Lewis, I want this to be a book or a course about you, the reader, the listener. What can we learn from C.S. Lewis? How can we enhance our own communication skills? Sometimes people ask me, who's our C.S. Lewis today? And sometimes people nominate various speakers or authors. The purpose of this book is that each of us can learn from C.S. Lewis, and each of us can learn how to be a better communicator. And the model of C.S. Lewis can help us be master communicators and enhance our craft of communication.
All right. Well, with that, we'll close out. Thanks again, Steve, for being on All About Jack.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed the conversation very much.
Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, your host, and you've been listening to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast, which is a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Be sure to visit EssentialCSLewis.com for a variety of content, including a series about quotations credited to Lewis that he might not have written. I've also recently begun a short YouTube channel entitled 90 Seconds to Knowing C.S. Lewis. There's a link in the show notes to that. Today, my guest was Dr. Stephen Beebe, author of many books, including the recently released C.S. Lewis and the Craft of Communication. You'll find a direct link to it in the show notes. Speaking of those notes, you can find them at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show. But it might be just as easy to find them where the podcast is hosted, which is All About Jack at podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes, see the show notes for a direct link to it there, and consider rating my show on iTunes to help others find it. And of course, please consider sharing this show so others can hear it. Before closing out, in case you didn't know, I've written two books related to C.S. Lewis. Buying them is a great way to indirectly support this podcast, so it can continue to be made freely available. In 2018, The Misquotable C.S. Lewis was published. It explores 75 quotations credited to Lewis. Most are not by him, some are paraphrases, and a few are ones that could be misunderstood without more context. Then in 2016, my first book was released. It's an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters, humorously called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. Learn more about it and get a free PDF sample by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.